Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender radio show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do Journey with Mary to some place in the world where she has made an appearance. And that might sound strange to some newcomers. They might not understand how and why the Virgin Mary would be making any appearances. As far as they might know, that's only in the minds of schizophrenics and psychotic delusions. And there's good medicine for it. But the thing is, starting in 40 AD and going up to today, no one asked for this, no one invited this, and no one expected these visits to start happening. She began the visits, and we began documenting these visits that happened in almost every country around the world. It's rather amazing. It's not just Europe or Mexico or someplace. It's all over the world. Vietnam, India, Russia, China, Korea, Australia, and just down in Africa. Good song title, Down in Africa. Anyway, she's been everywhere, and we're coming up on close to 2,700 documented visits in the last 2,000 years. Obviously, she's been very busy. But what's she up to? That's what we look at. How does she appear? What does she do? Why does she show up? What does she say, if anything? And what does it all mean? Why that place at that time? We look at all these factors, and we especially look at the similarities from visits, because even though it might be 800 AD and 1651 or 1932, it's so similar what happens, how it happens, and whether it's in Korea or Bolivia or Rwanda, Africa, it doesn't matter where or what decade or century, it is so incredibly similar how she appears, what she does, how she does it, and the benefits from her visit. And she's even made predictions, which as far as I've seen, every single prediction has come true. And that's pretty amazing. As someone said, the only true prophet is one whose prophecies come true. Well, everything she says has come true. I haven't found one time where it didn't happen. And I've studied over about 101 apparitions. Now, that's not anywhere near 2,700. Any Catholic, how many do they know? Maybe five, six, you know. If even that many, which is sad because it's all right out there to explore and to learn and to read about. There's good books. There's ways to find on the internet how to track these down, but you just have to go looking. And unfortunately, they just can't possibly teach 1,000 of them in schools. So they just hit the highlights of a few, and that ends up being all anybody knows. Well, I've had a lot of fun finding some real gems out there. They're well-researched, well-documented, and some amazing miracles attached. So tonight we'll be going to Germany in the year 1641. And so we'll see what happens there in just a minute. But first of all, we want to bring on our team, starting with my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. And how are you tonight, Donald?
Well, John, we are doing great today. It's been a great day. I had my son here from England here this past few days.
Nice.
And it's been just a great blessing to have him here. And he's on his way back to England right now. I'm refreshed having my son here for a few days. That's just been a blessing. And so,
what's he doing in England?
He's the one of the founders and owners of MMA, Octagon. He's he does a lot of reporting on that, and he does a good job on that.
Okay. All right. Well, we also have Doc here from Tennessee. I'm pulling him up right now. There you are. How are you tonight, Doc?
Hello, hello, hello. Donald, which son is this? I met your kids. Which one is this? Is he the same
Jason.
One that was in that Christian rock band?
Yeah, well, he was the drummer. He was our drummer, Final Hour.
Okay. And he helped create the octagon fighting sport in Europe?
Yeah, in Ireland. And,
wow.
That's
impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. He showed me one of his videos. He's got a million followers
wow.
on YouTube. Yeah, that's pretty
wow.
impressive.
He should plug
Will
your
you
show for you.
Will you tell him I said hi? Well, he's not listening to the show. Should be, but...
Yeah. Yeah, he...
Wow.
Glad to see he's doing well.
He is, and he set up our website. So when the people
what?
See our articles, when they see our articles, he was the one that set up our website. So he does a good job on all this. Yeah, it's exciting.
Great. Well, we also have Mike is in from New Jersey, which hasn't been swept away yet by any hurricane. How are you, Mike?
Well, we're still fighting big bad wind out here, but it's kind of calmed down.
Yeah, it should be about the end of it, I would think.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I had a friend in Maryland, and I warned her. I said, "You better be careful. There's a big storm coming your way." So, anyway. Well, I'm glad you're all here. Any other news before we go to our story or questions? All right.
That's good.
Well, head on to our story. It's in Kevelaer, Germany. That's K-E-V-E-L-A-E-R, Kevelaer, Germany. It happened between 1641 and 1642. And Mary was known there as Our Lady, Comforter of the Afflicted. So around 1640, the small village of Kevelaer had suffered greatly from a tragic fire and the ravages of the 30 Years' War. It was considered a vast moorland and a place where few ventured. Does anyone remember the 30 Years' War, who that was between or what was going on?
Yeah.
What was that about, Donald?
Well, the 30 Years' War, a lot of it was about religion. A lot of it was because of those that were rebelling against the Catholic Church. A lot of that was.
Interesting. Well, that might explain some of this then. Hendrik Busman, a pious traveling salesman, was on his journey from Wies to Geldern when he stopped at a cross on the heath of Kevelaer to pray for a few minutes. He says, quote, "At Christmas in 1641, I was making my way when I came to the region around Kevelaer. There was a cross by the roadside, and I heard a voice coming from that direction say to me, 'Here thou shalt build me a chapel.'" Boy, Mary doesn't waste any time at all, does she? The first thing he hears is, "Build me a chapel here."
Get to work.
So, Hendrik Busman says,
Okay, just because just what you asked, this is
okay,
the struggles of the 30 Years' War erupted in 1618 when Holy Roman Emperor Ferdinand II attempted to impose the Catholic faith on the Protestant nobles of both Bohemia and Austria that rose up in rebellion. So I wasn't too far off.
That's good.
The way I heard it was that those nobles rose up against the Catholic Church.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But the Roman Emperor, Ferdinand II, tried to hold a strong hand for the Catholic Church. And so at least he was trying to do the right thing. But
so now this makes a lot of sense why Mary would make an appearance around this time, because she always really inspired Catholicism wherever she went. And here they were battling over all that, and here she comes. Build me a chapel here.
Get the word.
So Hendrik Busman says, quote, "I looked around me, but saw no one. So I resolved to press on and put all thoughts of the phenomenon out of my head. About a week later, I passed the place again. And there I heard the same voice speaking the same words as before. Thou shalt build me a chapel here." So, and then I heard it again a third time. I was sad because I was poor and I had no means by which I might build a shrine or chapel there. Nevertheless, I saved regularly from my petty cash in the distant hope that one day I should have a fund to fit the purpose. That's pretty good. Saved his pennies to build a church, but I have a feeling that's pretty hard to do that.
Yeah, I think I would have just started piling stones on top of each other. Would have been quicker.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what St. Francis did. That's what St. Francis did. In,
you
when
know
he
what's
got
interesting
his...
about this?
What's that?
What's
interesting about this is that Mary did the same thing her son did. And she didn't go to a building superintendent or to a contractor, to an architect, to building a chapel or a church or a basilica would be nothing, no big deal. She went to somebody very insignificant
and pious. Yes.
Well, Christ actually went to some pretty rough dudes. I mean, they were pious, but their hands got dirty. I mean, they were, you know, like Peter was. I mean, he was a rough scallion before he met Jesus. From what we know of him, he ran a hard crew. He probably cursed. He drank, but he became the God. Jesus picked the ones that no one saw coming and turned them into something that no one could have imagined.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And heaven has a way of doing that.
Donald, what were you going to say about St. Francis?
Before St. Francis, God the Father one day was walking through the garden, and Adam and Eve hid from him. And so God, speaking behind a tree, spoke out to them, "Where are you?" Now, could you imagine that? They hear this, and when they heard the Lord ask where they are, well, they hid themselves. Why? Because they were naked, but they felt naked. And they knew, then the Lord knew that they had disobeyed him and that they ate of that tree, or they ate of the forbidden fruit. Then the Lord said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat?" And then the man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." And so,
blame her. She did it. Blame her. She did it. She told me.
Well, then she said that the snake tricked me. The snake tricked me. So she said that the snake tricked her. So she ate it. And so the point is, the Lord comes walking through the trees, and he He knows what's happened. But he asks them, where are you? And so, but then they realized, you know, that they were wrong. And so now Our Lady is, or she's reaching out to this individual. And he hears this voice twice.
Three times.
Where this crucifix was. And this was long before, you know, Tony Orlando and Don, you know, knocked three times, you know, if you really want me. Well, that's not, that Our Lady didn't have to worry about that. But so Our Lady was seeking, because she wanted a church built there, so that, as in the story of Adam and Eve, our Lord knew where they were at, but he wanted them to be faithful. And so Our Lady wants us to be faithful and wants a church placed there. So it's really the same story. It's really the same story.
And it gets even better. Hendrick goes on to say, quote, then 4 weeks before Whit Sunday, my wife, Michelle Schaus, received a vision by night. She saw a great light, and in the midst of it, a shrine. And in that shrine was a picture of Our Lady of Luxembourg, like one she had been shown sometime earlier by two soldiers passing through our village. The soldiers had offered to sell Michelle the picture, but upon asking the price, she realized that she could not afford it. A night watchman making his usual rounds saw a strange light in the home of the busman's, confirming this supernatural vision and visitation that night. Oh, so they had a witness.
The thing that caught me about that right there is that the soldiers would actually consider selling that picture. When you're a soldier going off the war and you got a picture of Mary and you're going to sell it? I don't find my corpse with it. That's how that's going. That ain't leaving me.
But John?
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about the Garden of Eden, you know, with Adam and Eve and that story there, how it kind of connects here. But to be honest about soldiers, you got to remember that Doc, he was a PFC in the Garden of Eden while I was a sergeant. So we could identify.
Are you pulling rank?
I guess he is.
Oh, my. All right. So back to the story here. So while she's having this vision, a bright light, this night watchman walking by sees that light in their home from the outside. That's pretty cool. So it was obviously more than a vision. It was a visitation. And she was, the light was really there in her home. And the image of the shrine appeared along with Our Lady of Luxembourg, the picture. So when his wife told him of her vision, he says, I connected it with my own experience near Cavalier. I urged her to find the soldiers and the picture. Yeah, right. She discovered that the picture was now in the possession of a lieutenant presently in prison in Kiemen, K-E-M-E-N, Kiemen. Michelle obtained the picture from him. Unquote. What are the odds that she could actually track that picture down?
I want to
That's
point
amazing.
Something else out.
Yes.
That may have gone overlooked in this whole story. This is a war zone at night, and there's a bright light seen coming out of the house. How was that place not shelled or hit on by snipers or anything? At night in a combat zone, you douse, you cover, you hide all possible forms of light. You do not light a match because you will get killed. And the fact visible light and nobody thought to take a shot is itself a miracle. Can we at least ponder that thought?
Well
if you light a match, if you got nods, that looks like a flashlight, doesn't it, Doc?
Huh?
Yeah.
When you have a match, when if you got nods, infrared nods, and you light
yeah.
a match, it's like a flash. It looks like a flashlight.
Yeah. Well, think about it. This is what year was this again? During the 30-year war, they didn't have all the fancy stuff we have now.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a soldier and I see a light over an enemy territory, I'm sending some rounds. If there's light, there's people. If there's people, they're the enemy. This is the front line. We got to kill the enemy. That's the way soldiers think. And especially
night,
back then.
It was a night watchman, not a soldier,
the
but a night watchman.
The night watchman saw it.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
that means the enemy could see it too.
But you know how heaven is. Heaven
yeah,
makes sure that it's going to work. Heaven doesn't screw
oh,
it up.
Oh, I know. I'm just trying to point out the fact that heaven did make sure it worked, and there was
right.
no enemy attack from that light.
That's right. That's right.
Oh.
That's right. It's a good point, though. It's a good point. It could have happened, but it just wasn't allowed to happen that time. But I'm still amazed.
I don't think anybody's ever caught that.
Amazed that she somehow found out that this lieutenant in prison had the picture. That's just amazing to me. In
that's
a different city.
That's a good right there.
Yeah, you got that. Well, of course, I'm sure she had some heavenly help finding it. But she got the picture back. So, convinced that the vision experienced by his wife was a confirmation of his heavenly assignment, Hendrick used the little money that he had saved and began to construct a shrine according to Michelle's description. This then was supported by the parish priest of Cavalier, Reverend Johannes Schink. The portrait, it's very interesting, was a copper-printed picture measuring only 12 centimeters tall and 8 centimeters wide. Guys, that is tiny. 12 centimeters by 8 centimeters. That
you
would
know,
barely be like wallet size. Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, that's something you can put in your pocket, you know.
Yeah. And it was known as Our Lady of Luxembourg, the comforter of the sad and depressed, whom everyone had worshipped during the pest epidemic of 1623. The text on the picture said, quote, a faithful portrayal of the Mother of Jesus, the comforter of the sad and depressed, renowned for miracles and worshipped by many people. At first, Carmelite nuns of Geldern offered to keep it safe during the construction. After that, during a temporary period of caring for the image in his home, Hendrick appealed to the Capuchin priests to house it safely in their chapel, because so many pilgrims were already traveling to venerate the image. The crowds became so great for him to please take it back as soon as he could for placement in the shrine. Imagine that, this little like wallet-sized painting, people coming in huge crowds just to see it. That's amazing. So on June 1st, 1642, Reverend Schink officially brought the image in great ceremony to the new shrine where large crowds awaited. Miracles were soon reported. On September 8th, feast day for the birth of Our Lady, Rainier and Margaretha van Vulbroek traveled with their invalid son Peter, who had been paralyzed for 5 years, unable to walk or stand, although his case had been declared hopeless by doctors. Just 2 days after their visit to Our Lady of Luxembourg, Peter was totally cured and able to walk again without any difficulty. So there's a very impressive miracle associated with the shrine in the picture. Here's another one. A woman suffering open wounds on her legs that no treatments had helped for years was healed miraculously after just 2 visits. her healing was so dramatic and profound that it was reported by the mayor of Husan, Holland, for official documentation on August 13, 1643. Many other miraculous cures were documented at the shrine. 5 years after Hendrik's death, the old chapel was replaced by a new one in 1654. A basilica was built between 1858 and 1864. Today, it is a huge and beautiful complex with multiple buildings, bubbling fountains, and an outdoor Stations of the Cross. Picture of Our Lady, Comforter of the Afflicted, has been decorated through the years with golden angels, golden roses, golden medals, and jeweled ornaments donated by grateful pilgrims. So it's still there. That little picture is still there. And in 1892, the 250th anniversary of the shrine's inauguration was celebrated with a papal coronation, a crown studded with diamonds and jewels placed above the picture by the Pope. And on May 2nd, 1987, Pope John Paul II visited Cavalier and venerated the miraculous image himself. So that's really an interesting story. All she said was build a church here. And all
chapel.
This developed. Yeah.
She didn't ask for a church. She asked for a chapel, and look what she got.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's pretty typical, though. When people value it, they just keep making it better and better. And here now it's huge basilica and revered after all these years. I mean, some 400
you know,
some years.
You never hear the land owner, the person who owned the land where that happened. I mean, basically he was asked to donate that property.
Yeah. So, pretty amazing little story. Pretty amazing. It's interesting how it just started with a voice, and then to make sure that he gets it, his wife has that dream, and it was not more than a dream. It was an actual visit because that night watchman saw the bright light from outside, so it wasn't a dream or a vision. It was truly a visit, and Mary showing everything that she wanted done. So, although they didn't actually see her, but she certainly made her presence known in those ways. And with that 30 years of war, I just wonder what effect that had on that with all this Catholicism blossoming like crazy with this incident. I wonder what effect that had. It certainly didn't die out, that's for sure.
No.
Mary has a way of, and heaven has a way of making it their way. How they want something to go in a certain area, they make sure it's going to go their way when they want it to. I love that, especially it's always so sacred and beautiful. What do you think of that, Mike?
Well, I'm just kind of trying to take all this in. I've got a bad connection, so I couldn't understand two-thirds of what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry for that. Is that because of the storm or?
It's cutting in and out.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on this, guys? Yeah, Doc, we appreciate you hanging in there. I know you're hurting a lot tonight. So.
I am, but I do have something I want to put out, see what time it is. I don't want to do it too near the end of the show. There's a strong chance. My brother had cancer, and he rode through the treatment and everything, and we think we got it beat. But they found something on his spinal column, and it may have metastasized. We're hoping it's just a bulging disc. He's going in for a test. So I'll ask everybody out there in Radio Land to say a prayer for my brother.
What's his first name?
He is Norman, of all things. Norman.
Okay.
And he's got the same first name as me. That's a long story. But anyway, yeah, if we could all say a prayer for him, I'd appreciate it, because he is probably the most honorable man I've ever met in my life. And I met him when
wow.
he was 50. I met him
wow,
right around
okay.
when he was 50 years old. Like I said, it's a long story. But
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
So y'all, in your own collective way, to keep him in your thoughts and prayers, I'd appreciate it.
Well, we'll do. We'll do. So, well, next week we will be going to Vinay, that's V-I-N-A-Y, France. And the year is just a little bit later, 1649. Vinay, France. Not very well-known apparition, but a very interesting one. And Mary is known there as Our Lady of the Willow Tree. And that will be next week's story, Our Lady
Ooh.
Of the Willow Tree, 1649.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a great
it is.
One.
Yeah. So we'll cover that next week. And, well, I don't have anything else tonight, really. Anyone else have anything else to report?
Yeah,
we just...
I will announce something. Everybody usually asks me what I'm writing next, and I always say I have no idea. Well, I've written another one. And this is different because this is a novel and basically a transformation story from someone who didn't believe into becoming a believer. But here's how it's set up. Picture a kind of gruff, tough police detective from New York City. And he has... really been on the streets fighting crime and putting the perps away, and he's really good at it. I mean, they're scared of him. But at one point, he gets ambushed by a gang, and they shoot up his leg pretty good. So he's disabled now. He can't be on the streets anymore, and he is at a desk job, and he does not want to be at a desk job because he likes to be out on the streets doing his thing, and he can't stand it. It's depressing. Oh, his family's happy because he's not in danger, but he is bored and depressed. And his best friend from college calls. He's calling from Italy, where he has been because he studied archaeology and forensics. And he's been with the Vatican for a while with their antiquities and all their artifacts, and he's said, hey, we just formed a new team over here, the VMCI. He goes, well, what does that stand for? He goes, the Vatican's Miraculous Claims Investigation Unit. And he says, with your detective skills, we could use you. And he says, well, I don't even believe in God. There's no God, all this crime out there. And he goes, that's exactly why we want you, because you're not going to be an easy... You're going to fight hard to challenge these miraculous claims, and we need you on our team, and you can use your detective skills, but you don't have to worry about chasing crooks or anything. And so this all is told in the first two pages of the book. But you can imagine what happens next. He joins the team, and he goes to miraculous sites. And he's fighting in his head this whole thing about that there's really a God and all this could really be coming from that. And there's a lot of twists and turns in the book, but it's kind of unpredictable what's going to happen. It is predictable in one way and unpredictable in others. And all in all, it's a great transformation. And I wrote that, and it's at the publisher. So it'll be several months before it comes out, but I thought I'd let y'all know I've been up to it again. What do you think of that?
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. And it's interesting,
so
because
you finished it already?
I finished writing it, and it was sent to the publisher, and it'll be going through all the editing and all that process, which they just correct all my punctuations and make sure everything.
My wife does that for me.
Sure. Yeah.
What the heck were you trying to say? This isn't even English.
But here's the cool thing is I imagined, because it's told, you hear his thoughts. You hear this detective's thoughts. You're in his head. He's like the narrator of his own experience. So you hear him interact with the team, but then you hear his thoughts, you know, as he tells you what he's thinking. It's interesting because I took him, every miracle in the book is an actual real miracle or based on a real miracle. It might be a different country or a different city by name, but it's a real event and a real artifact or something like that. And I put myself in his place imagining how would I have felt seeing that? How would I have reacted? And it was a lot of fun because we all kind of imagine what it might be like, but I had the fun of actually putting myself there and then having it be in his thoughts, how he reacted and what he thought. And like I said, there's some real dramatic twists and turns that you don't see coming. And I had a lot of fun, and I didn't rush. I just kind of, it was like an artistic doodle. You know, I just kind of like, if I wasn't sure what to say, I'd wait. A couple weeks later, I might get another idea and write another page. And then I did this over about the last 10 months, and just kind of piddling with it. And finally, it all came together, and it has a real amazing ending and really cool finish. So, but I'd never tried to write a novel before, so. And at the very end of the book, there'll be a page that says, everything that seemed credible and believable in this book was fiction. Everything that seemed incredible and supernatural was real. And
there
they'll say, read on, and then it will cover the actual miracles that actually happened to show where I pulled them from. So if people think, oh, this book's just silly or crazy, that stuff doesn't happen, I'll be showing them at the end that it did.
Oh, now you see, you shouldn't have told us that. You just ruined the ending.
Oh, no, no, no. That's after the story ends. It's an appendix. So for the reader, if they don't know about this stuff, then they get to see
right.
Where I got every little thing. And I think that'll be the real surprise for a lot of people. They'll think, that stuff doesn't happen. It's just a story. And then they'll see at the end, oh, my God, it really did happen.
Right.
So anyway, I had fun.
Those are
and,
the best stories.
Yeah. I had thought about doing, and Tim Francis, as some of you might know, he and I talked about doing a screenplay for a movie, and it was kind of like that, a little bit like that, but he wanted it to be more of his own story. But we had the same kind of idea about a team going around investigating miracles, and so I kind of thought about that idea, and he and I haven't talked in a while, but it could be a movie. It really could be a movie. I'm not saying that that will ever happen, but I kind of wrote it picturing it that way, picturing the action and the things that happen. But anyway, I thought I'd break that. You're the first people to hear publicly that this is happening. So it will probably come out in February, be my guess.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I think you guys will get a kick out of it, and you'll appreciate it and understand it, and I think you'll like all the twists and turns I threw in there, because I didn't want it to be too predictable, so I had to turn it upside down a couple times. So, I will say this. the very first outing, he actually proves it was a hoax, and now he thinks he's really hot stuff. So, but that's all I'll say. That one wasn't real. But
well, actually, that's what you would want. I mean, if somebody's going to go out and try to prove these miracles, every once in a while, it's good for them to find an actual host to find out. That way it proves that the documentation and the investigation is credible. If every single one they investigate, then they could say that guy's bought. But if he's busting them one after the other and, oh, these are credible, then it gives credence to what he's saying is credible.
That's right. And I pull in, his team has got like a blood specialist and a Catholic historian and archaeologist and geologist. And, you know, we have different specialties that enter into the picture, doctors and all that. So, and I use the real science, you know, as they talk, looking for certain things. So it's all 100% real in, but I put it together like I was right there investigating it with them, and that was fun. So, yeah, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we can go ahead and do our worldwide Hail Mary as we near the last minutes of our show here. And we ask the whole world out there that's listening to please, please, and also to pray for Norman, Doc's brother, or if I got that right. And, and as we say the Hail Mary worldwide, all our voices will be in unison worldwide, around the world, no matter what time zone or hour it is, anywhere else, we'll be all together saying these words. And all our voices will rise in unison up to heaven, where heaven will smile. Let's make heaven smile as we honor our Blessed Mother. Join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mother, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. And we hope this show was interesting and inspirational and intriguing so that you got something.
Do we have Kathy? Do we have Kathy?
No,
Mike. There it is. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cedo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. And ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos da malo. Amen. Ave Maria gratia plena dominus tecum, benedicta tua Mariaibus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
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 All right, back to you, Donald.
Amen. All right, well then we'll close with this. And thank you all out there in Deeper Truth Land for supporting us and listening to us and putting us up at the top. Thank you all out there and putting the Lord at the top. God bless you all out there. God bless you and thank you, John. And thank you. And we look forward to next week. Oh, definitely. And that one's a powerful one. So that's going to be a good one. Again, they're all good. And thank you, Doc. And thank you, Mike, for chiming in. God bless you all. And so we'll see y'all next time.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.